You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I hype up everybody. What are you talking about? My hype me up's a legendary.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Amino Hassan. That over there is Charlotte Wilder. Charlotte, we've got a hell of a show today. A hell of a show, I say.
A hell of a show.
We're going to talk about your favorite head coach in the world, Joe Mazzulla, and the possible Mazzulla rule that might be coming in from the league, at least according to him.
Marula, also, could you call it?
The Marula, sorry. Is that what you just said?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Oof. Continue.
Also, the G League Ignite. How do I say goodbye to what we had? I'll explain in a little bit. Also, let's not forget that this T-Wolves week is not stopping yet. We have yet another update to the T-Wolves analyst story. But first, Charlotte, you ever have like a favorite character on a TV show? And then for whatever reason, the writers kind of write that character out of the show and they're gone for a couple of seasons and then they return and like, oh, your mind is blown. It's like, oh, I forgot how great this character was.
Well, 100%. I mean, actually, you know what show was really good at that? Was Mad Men.
Never seen a second of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this. Yes, you would like it.
That's what the money is for.
That's what the money is for.
Right. You would enjoy it. You would enjoy it. You would. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So why do you bring this up, Amin? What made you say that?
Well, an oddball darling of earlier in the season, Dylan Brooks, came back to make his presence known as him and DeMar DeRozan got into a kerfuffle.
Mm-hmm.
During Rockets Bulls last night, basically, DeMar DeRozan was guarding the screener on the pick and roll, showed hard, but kind of showed a little too hard, trucking Jalen Green, knocking him to the ground as he strutted away purposefully, I might add. Here comes Dylan Brooks wondering what the deal is. And next thing you know, you got people grabbing each other and then they're on the ground and they're rolling around and there's a scrum and it's a good old fashioned NBA fight where no one actually gets hurt, but we get a little like holding and yelling at each other.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it wasn't awesome, I guess, but you know, you need a little excitement every now and then. I was surprised by the volume of bodies that were involved in this fight. You know, usually they usually stay upright for the most, but let's break down a fight for a second.
Yes.
NBA fight, usually you've got, you know, the two people who start it. And then everyone who comes around them, it's sort of like the center of the sun and then everything that's surround that. And then you've got like the flares off on the side a little bit. This was sort of like a boulder that started rolling down the hill and then everybody was just in it. They were all on the floor. They were in two different piles. It was very surprising to me when I saw it. I mean,
it definitely had like all the vibes of an avalanche, right? But an avalanche in the cartoons, not like a real avalanche where it's like
right.
A little piece of snow starts rolling down and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then some unsuspecting poor soul gets just trucked by it. But I'm not going to lie. I did not watch this game last night. So I don't know why DeRozan's original trucking of Jalen Green happened. Let me just say this. When you show hard on a pick and roll, it's usually low and with an arm out. And that's not quite what happened. He almost hit him with his body, right?
Yeah.
And so hitting him with his body and then kind of, again, usually if you were a little too aggressive on the show, you would help the guy up or stand by. It's kind of like this body language to indicate to the referees, I didn't mean to do that.
Right.
But DeRozan's body language was, I did mean to do that. And I'm being told now that he got fouled on a layup and they didn't call it. But it's like, it wasn't Jalen Green who did it. So why would you?
Yeah. And then he leaves him on the ground. And Jalen Green, you know, he could have been flopping a little because who doesn't exaggerate every now and then.
He was down for a while.
He was down. Like, and he and DeRozan did not go over to him. It wasn't. And then, you know, what's the most interesting part of this to me, is that our dear friend Dylan Brooks, he has been the instigator. We talked about him a lot early in the season, and I miss him, to be honest. And when I saw, oh, Dylan Brooks involved in a fight, I was like, what dumb thing did this guy whisper into someone's ear? But it was actually that Dylan Brooks walked up to DeMar DeRozan to defend Jalen Green. However, he...
Not even aggressively, by the way. Not even aggressively defend.
Dylan Brooks comes up behind DeMar DeRozan, and usually, you know, and I can see where if you're DeMar DeRozan and Dylan Brooks is standing in behind you in the vicinity, you're like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. So DeMar elbows him in the face. When you have a track record like Dylan Brooks, I can see where approaching on the blind side might not necessarily be the move, but it was Dylan Brooks was not the guy who started this whole thing. And that was very interesting to me.
That is funny, right? Like, he is the instigator. And here he was actually, I won't say a peacemaker, but he definitely did not start it. Well, you know what? I take that back. He was the guy that fouled DeRozan on the other end hard.
Never mind. It all falls apart.
All right. Time to pour out a little liquor, Charlotte, for the G League Ignite program, which the NBA is shutting down after just 4 seasons. There had been some hints of it from Commissioner Silver at the All-Star game during his State of the Union address. The official word came out yesterday. We got a quote here from G League President Sharif Abdul-Rahim. 4 years ago, we started Ignite to fill a void in the basketball landscape, and I'm proud of the contributions we were able to make to that ecosystem. With the changing environment across youth and collegiate basketball, now is the right time to take this step. Of course, the G League Ignite program has given us such talents as Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga, Scoot Henderson. So from a, and I believe they've had a lottery pick every single season they've been in action. So from the standpoint of developing NBA talent, I think I'd probably give them a B, right? I thought these guys would be a little bit more ready for NBA play than the standard one and done guy. And it seems like all of them have had their growing pains, but I still think they're good players have come out of that program. But it sounds like they're struggling to continue to recruit the same kind of high caliber athlete.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are saying NIL had something to do with this, because if you can go to college and make money and, you know, have a big platform that comes with those storied programs. It was interesting what Silver said. He said some of those same players that didn't want to be one and done players because they felt it was unfair and they wanted the ability to not just earn a living playing basketball, but to do commercial deals that weren't available to them in college, Now all those same abilities have become available to them. So it does make I can see where it made the G League Ignite redundant in some ways. I think the timing was just really bad. I think that if they had started this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there might have been a chance that it would get a better foothold and then maybe even be able to withstand the NIL situation, given like what they could give these players in terms of infrastructure that maybe the colleges or they also just didn't have to go to class.
Right. I mean, like, I think it's a give and a take, right? The give was always, okay, you get paid to play basketball, and then also you learn NBA basketball immediately. Mm-hmm. You're playing against grown men. You're, in theory, you should be being better prepared for an NBA life doing this because you're already living as a grown-up now. The negatives, of course, is you miss out. Look, man, college is fun, especially if you're a big time athlete. College is extremely fun and you're around people your age all the time and things aren't as serious. I know these guys are very driven for their next careers on the NBA level, but like you get to go to parties and hang out and flirt with, you know, someone in your math class. And then you do these things and go to the cafeteria or whatever. And when you're in G League Ignite, it's like a weird kind of drill camp, like you join the army and
it's a job.
Yeah, it's a job, and that's not fun. And I know everyone knows, like, yeah, but you don't have to go to class. But you know what, man? Sometimes it's not so bad feeling like you're still a kid, right?
It also
being grown up. Yeah, they're being asked to adult at 18 years old, pretty much.
Yeah, no, thank you. It does, though. It college, I think, also gives these guys a chance to be as normal as they're going to be for the rest of their lives. And that is a value that I don't think you can really put a price on if that's something that matters to you. You can make friends who are just normal kids who are going to be with you for the rest of your life. And where else are you going to find that?
And so then you add on, now I can have that kind of life. Oh, and also make seven figures off an NIL. That's way more than the 500 grand that G League Ignite were offering. That was their whole thing. 500 grand is a lot of money to a broke college kid. 500 grand to a kid who can make seven figures off an NIL and still have all those social kind of, you know, experiments over here that, you know, doesn't really add up. And of course, you could say, oh, you can get a marketing deal in the G League, but kind of part of the NIL is the exposure, right? You play somewhere where people are going to see you so that we can get you that ad. Caitlin Clark being in a State Farm commercial because she has exploits that the nation has seen versus if you're tucked away, you know, in a what do you call it, in the G League in Henderson, Nevada, no one's seen or heard from you other than basketball nerds.
Listen, Grady Dick seems like he made a lot of money doing car wash commercials in Kansas, so.
Say that three times fast.
I can't.
We got another update from the Wolves analyst who was arrested after stealing proprietary information and hard drives. His name was Somak Sarkar. If you watched yesterday's show, we told you all about the crime that he did. Well, the initial court hearing was held, and as part of the conditions of his release, he gets a supervised release, excuse me, and as part of the conditions, he can't contact the Timberwolves executive, Sachin Gupta, whom he allegedly stole information from, either directly or indirectly, including through social media, which I know our founding fathers were really, really strong on that. Do not allow them to DM each other in these cases. Also, he must avoid any property owned, operated, or managed by the Timberwolves, but he can't leave the state of Minnesota. So
I'm sort of like, call me crazy. I mean, is this like the bear? Like, obviously you can't contact the person you stole from, and obviously you like shouldn't go back to the place where you stole it from.
Charlotte, this is America. If you don't explicitly say it, the defense is gonna be, well, nobody said I couldn't do that, right? So
yeah, but feels like,
oh, I mean, I get it. Like, I'm sure there are people who are like, will contact victims and be like, hey man, you know, I wasn't trying to do that. Please just let them know this is all a misunderstanding and all that stuff, including hanging around outside waiting for the one person that was nice to them in the office and inviting them. Oh, Mark, yo, you know me. Come on, tell these people, tell them it's all a big misunderstanding. So you got to do this stuff. The thing that I'm most interested in is, it's called supervised release. Is that just an ankle monitor? Or is that someone checking in on you? What does supervised release mean specifically?
When I hear supervised release, I think of someone just like coming around and checking in every day, or, you know, like a detention in school situation, except much more serious. But I think it could. Do they explicitly say if it's an ankle monitor? I feel
they just say supervised release. So I know.
But if it is an ankle monitor, I feel like people are really big on like talking about the fact that someone has an ankle monitor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I don't know. We've got to look into that. We have some research to do when it comes to the Timberwolves, because this is the story that just keeps on unraveling.
There, by the way, his attorney, Ryan Pasiga, I believe is the name, or maybe Pachiga, had this to say, quote, "There's more to the story here. I'm not ready to put that out there yet, but we're gathering more information and more will come out soon when it's the appropriate time." This is the Hail Mary of all lawyer speak, right? Like, there's more to it. We're not ready to tell you what there is, but we're gathering the information.
Well, let me tell you, Ryan, when you have that information, I can't wait. I'm here for it. Tell me everything.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you've got to listen to Six Trophies, where Shea and Jason serve up the biggest moments from around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington in Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some ... but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus, a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head-scratching moments around the NBA. This playoff season, you'll want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for a Hype Me Up.
Hype Me Up?
Yep. This is a segment where we take some downtrodden individuals or organizations and we try to brighten their day as we go into the weekend here. All right, Charlotte. We only got one on the docket today, but it's five different teams. They are the Pistons, the Wizards, the Grizzlies, the Blazers, and the Spurs. All five teams have already been eliminated from playoff making or even play-in making with a combined record of 81 and 266. That's a win percentage of 23%. Charlotte, hype up these five franchises.
Look, it sucks. It sucks that the rest of the regular season just doesn't mean anything to you. And I understand that, and it's got to be painful. And I'm sure this year was tough in ways that I can't imagine. First of all, you're going to have a longer offseason, and you know that already. It's not like it's going to come with heartbreak when you all of a sudden are not working anymore. You can make plans in the summer. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what you're working with here. There is almost a mercy in being cut loose from this. You know, just enjoy the off season. Start thinking about what you can do differently. Put some, you know, cross your fingers that the brass in your organizations knows how to make a few tweaks. And
You're lucky, you might get traded to a good team.
There you go. Okay, I mean, this is one of my favorite things in the NBA to talk about, which is how freaking weird Joe Mazzulla is.
He's a weird individual.
He is a strange guy. And I say that with no judgment. I mean, look, like,
our show is called Oddball.
Yeah, we're not, like, normal.
He should be a guest on this show.
He really should. Well, he sort of has been.
No, I mean,
he should really come
on
the
show. You know, when we do the show in Boston.
Yeah.
Boston coming soon. We'll try and grab Coach Mazzulla for a sit down.
I think he would enjoy it.
I think he would too.
We're not a hostile environment
not
here.
Not usually.
No. He did the weirdest thing I think I've ever seen a coach do physically recently, and he does this often, mm-hmm. which is...
I don't know if he does this often. This is the first time I've seen him do it.
But he says he does it often. That's the thing.
That's like, again...
So anyway, energy. let's explain what he did. Basically, he contested a three that Suns forward Royce O'Neal had shot after a timeout. So there was no way that this shot was going to count.
So typically this is what happens, right? In the NBA, there's a dead ball or a timeout, and as everyone's walking to the bench, whatever player has the ball sometimes will take a little practice shot. Now, famously, Kevin Garnett would like goaltend those practice shots, right? Including one time where he goaltended it. It went back to the guy who shot it, who shot it again. And Kevin Garnett goaltended it again, right? So this is not new.
I forgot about that.
This is not new from a player perspective that some guys don't let guys take practice shots.
Right.
What's new is as the Celtics are going to their bench, which is right in front of where the basket where the Suns are shooting, Joe Mazzulla sprints from the bench and full-on contest Royce O'Neal's
shot. Honestly, like, impressive hops. Like, he got, like...
Well, jiu-jitsu.
Oh, right. Sorry. Right? Like, Coffee, come on now. Yeah. Jesus, and Jiu-Jitsu.
Yep.
And he's incredible. Drew Mazzola is my favorite character in the NBA. So here's what he said about this. People were like, hey, you're the coach.
Right.
Not a coach. You are the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Why did you contest another player's shot that wasn't going to count for anything? Also, if he had contested a shot that was going to count for something, that's a whole other story. Yeah. And Mazzola said,
I saw a guy going in to try to get a shot and he hadn't made one. And I didn't want him to feel good about himself going to the bench. Gary asked me about that a month ago, and that's the bench rule. Guys don't shoot shots in front of our bench to go back to their bench to feel good about themselves. If I'm going to ask the guys to contest, the staff's going to do the same.
Okay.
It's funny because in his mind, Jaylen Brown sits down on the bench and sits down and sees Royce O'Neal shoot the shot and said, Coach, you were right there. Get a hand up. What are you doing? Like, in his mind, that's what the – so I can't have Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or Peyton Pritchard think of me like that. I gotta walk the walk.
Which,
if I'm gonna talk the talk.
On some level, I do respect. Like, this is to an extent that I'm like, this is not how things usually work. But I do think that there's something to be said for Mazzola sitting there with a mindset that he has to do what he is asking of other people to the point where it's not, his players probably are never going to feel like, hey, this guy is asking a lot of us and he's not delivering. One thing you cannot say about Joe Mazzola is that he's not intense. There is an intensity.
Yes, and yet, I think it is endearing to his players, but I think it's endearing in the way that it's like, yes, he's a delightful little weirdo, but he's our delightful little weirdo, right? And like that's I think it's endearing in that way.
Yeah,
I talked about this on Lebatard show last week, like the idea that you can be the delightful little weirdo as long as you're successful. The moment you're not successful, like, what was delightfully weird just turned into just weird.
And a little annoying,
right?
So for right now, great.
On top of the world.
I can't get the image out of my head. I fall asleep thinking about Joe Mazzola contesting a shot.
Yeah. So my favorite part is he went on local radio recently and he said someone told him to cease and desist doing that. We don't know if it's Celtics organization. We don't know if it's the league front office. We don't know if it's another player. So if you do this, I will kill you, right? We just know that someone told him to stop. And he said, quote, I don't think it's a rule, but I'm sure it will be in the next 24 to 48 hours. Making it seem like he's done this again or he was planning on, I don't know. It sounded like the Riddler, right? Like,
yes.
Or the Joker, like in the next 24 hours.
I predict that there will be some new laws on the books. Here, how long does it take to put a new rule?
Well, depends.
I feel like 24 to 48 hours is a pretty quick turnaround.
I think this is one of those things that next year there will be a rule, but for now there'll be a memo.
I hope they call it the Mazzola rule.
Well, of course. What else? You couldn't name it anything else, Charlotte. He's the only guy in the history of the game to ever do it.
It's so weird.
Let me ask you. You want to elevate this conversation?
Yeah,
elevate this conversation.
I do.
What's weirder?
Okay.
Joe Mazzola doing that to Royce O'Neal in a dead ball situation after a timeout. Or James Harden in the middle of a live game passing the ball to Kawhi Leonard and then closing out and contesting on him.
What happened there? I didn't believe my eyes. Do you think he just like, it was like a brain fart?
No way James Harden has a brain fart that forces him to play defense. That's not what's happening.
What happened?
I'll tell you exactly what's happening. Look at the time. Look at the score. They're beating the Blazers' ass. This is James Harden's way of saying, this game is so easy.
Oh.
I need to make it harder on ourselves. This is absolutely, if I was a ref, I would have teed him up for taunting. That's taunting.
I think that's more unhinged than what Mazzola did.
I don't think it's unhinged. I think it's like high level. That's
galaxy brain.
The only thing I can compare it to as far as like,
it's so obnoxious.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's so obnoxious.
That's how you team up. The only thing I can remember that is as obnoxiously confident in absolute victory was LeBron James in a playoff game against the Raptors one time. It was Raptors ball. Terrence Ross is about to inbound, and LeBron said, "Whoa, don't do that! Don't do that! You guys have 6 men on the floor." And he waited for the sixth Raptor. This is a playoff game. He waited for the sixth Raptor to get off the floor. And then he says to Terrence Ross, okay, now you can inbound it. He knew, and he could have just not said anything, and they would have got a technical foul, and they would have shot a free throw, one extra point for the Cavs.
Right.
But LeBron was literally so confident, like, we're going to kill them.
Right.
It's nothing you can do. There's no advantage I need to gain here.
So my question to you is, which is more obnoxious? Being so polite that it's rude, LeBron James being like, oh no, hold on, 1 sec, let me help you out. Or being so preening and cocky about it. Which would you prefer if you had to be on the receiving end of this as the losing team?
You know, Eddie Murphy used to have a bit about Mike Tyson. And he said, Mike Tyson beat the guy up, and then at the end of the fight, he'll kiss you on the forehead. And he's like, I don't want you to, like, try to be nice.
Right.
Just kick my ass.
Yeah.
Like, the being nice at the end makes it so much worse. I think I'd rather have Harden I think I'd have Harden do that, because if I were one of the Blazers, I would say, okay, now we gotta take him out.
Right.
But you can't do that to a guy who's just looking out for you, even though looking out
Which
for you.
Which is why it's kill him with kindness.
It's kill him with the absolute kindness. You know what? Out of those three things, I don't know. They're all kind of weird in their own way.
They are, but that's the brilliance. That's the brilliance of people. The thing about people who are willing to be this weird publicly is that they are so committed to the bit.
Yes.
The best way I can describe it is a commitment to the bit, to the point where if this were improv, like, they are yes anding after the show is over.
Yeah, we're still going.
We're in the audience leaving, and they're still up there saying, oh, but the alien said it was fine. 1,000% commitment to the bit. I think that's why I sort of respect all of it.
Every year, thousands of lowlights are taken out of context and disseminated across social media. It's called viral decontextualization, and it afflicts thousands of former NBA players and weekend warriors alike. Hi, I'm Amin El-Hassan, and I was once a victim of viral decontextualization. Let me help you fight back. If you or a loved one have suffered a viral video of a basketball play that is not representative of your playing ability, contact the law offices of Amin El-Hassan right now.
If you've suffered from a viral video of a basketball play that is not representative of your playing ability, call the law offices of Amin El-Hassan right now. He is 100% a real lawyer.
Don't let viral decontextualization ruin your life. Call Amin and get your reputation clean. Watch this. Pass me the rock.
Hey, ain't you that guy from the internet?
Yeah, but I'm not who my video said I am.
Please don't wait. Stop viral decontextualization. Call 1-800-OGBALL or visit www.townhorrendous.com and have Amin fight for you. Amin, what are you making me read?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.